join about a minute before we start off. And then we're gonna go through the general setup of today with the antitrust guidelines and so on. So in about a minute or so, I will start off. Thank you all for joining already. It's at least here in Belgium, finally a dry afternoon. So I hope for everybody that's kind of the same because I am getting slightly tired of seeing clouds and rain. I'm not sure, Lisanne, how is the weather at your side actually?
It's not too bad, actually.
Ah.
It's been sunny. Summer holidays have started for my daughter at school, so yeah, can't complain.
Okay, that's amazing. All right, so 1 plus 1, I think it's a great time to start. So good afternoon, everybody. My name is Vincent de Geer. Today I will be taking you through the webinar, the latest one of Leeds this year, from 2023, as far as I'm aware, unless we decide to have something very special in mind for the end of the year. Anyway, today we'll be talking about leaving your mark and the power of personal branding. So before we start, I would like to go through a few items. Let me quickly share my screen so we can put on the slides. Let me get screen two up in here. There we go. So, Lisanne, can you see my screen? Should be right.
Yes.
All right. So, before we start, a few technical details. So please do activate your audio through the computer or your phone dial-in. Also, as this is a webinar, this is for the participants a listen-only mode for the session. Now, do please use the Q&A button or the chat if you have any questions. We're more than happy and welcoming to answer them. This session will be recorded as well, and it will be made available on the Lead website. If you do not feel comfortable with this, please do. Well, you have the opportunity now to leave, and you can always watch the recording, even though I would love that you stay throughout the whole webinar. Screenshots of the session will be taken and can be shared with the Lead network. So feel free to do so if you find something very interesting on one of our slides. Now, before we start our webinar, quickly take a few minutes or a minute to read through our antitrust guidelines, as we have several partners and several branches, as well as, I mean, competition between possible partners present here. Do keep in mind that we do tend to talk sometimes about information that may be deemed to be in infraction of antitrust guidelines. If you think that is the case, please notify us immediately and we will completely address it. This can be talks about prices, other terms, market shares, and so on. That is about it that I can tell about the antitrust guidelines. We show them basically every time. So if you have any questions about this, do please also put them in chat. And I think honestly that should wrap it up for the introduction for today. So today's panel. Today I am joined by Lisanne Jonkman. She is the global leader, employer brand and talent attraction at Cargill. And the second part of the panel will be me talking about the experiences as a young director at a EGTC, which I will explain what we do and how I came to be in this function. So to kick off this webinar, I'm happy to give the floor to Lisanne, who can also well, quickly introduce herself and kick it off with the well, how she got where she is and how global branding has helped her through the events of her career. So Lisanne, over to you.
Thanks a lot, Vincent. Really nice to be here. Let me share my screen, first of all. Can you see it okay?
Yeah, great.
Perfect. So thanks a lot for having me here today. It's a pleasure to talk about such a fun topic, I think, like personal branding, but also an important topic as it can help everyone in their career. So I'm Lisanne. I'm Dutch, but I'm based out of the Gold Coast, Australia. I joined Cargill about 4 years ago, and I'm currently the Global Employee Brand and Talent Attraction Lead. So today I'm here to share my personal experiences on how personal branding has helped me in my career so far. I've moved around the world a couple of times, so I'm happy to share more how that really helped and boosted my career. So what we'll be covering today, I'll give you a bit of background on myself, an introduction into personal branding, why it is important, and how to build a personal brand in 5 steps, where I touch on my own experiences as well. And then obviously I'm here to answer any questions you might have. So a little bit more about myself. I am 34 years old. I'm born in a small village in the east of the Netherlands. I grew up in a family of five with my younger brother and sister. Then I went to high school in the small village. I specialized in math, science, and health. I chose the direction to go and study in Groningen. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this university. Great place. I studied human movement sciences and started with the master's, but then realized I wanted to change to business studies. I've always had multiple jobs during high school and university in sales and customer service. So I did not want to continue in the health space, but wanted to change to business studies. I had a little gap of 6 months. I did an internship at Adecco, where I was recruiting production employees. And then I moved into my business study. So I did a pre-master as well as a master in HR and change management. And during this time in Groningen, I met my now husband. He's Australian, and he at that time started his career in Sydney. So when I finished up my studies, we thought it might be a good time to be together, but it's best to do that in Sydney as he just started a job. So I moved and traveled around Australia and New Zealand for 3 months and then moved to Sydney, basically with my master's degree, a bit of experience at Adecco, as well as my jobs on the weekends. And I had to find a job. So I joined Auscorp Executive, as I did have a little bit of recruitment experience. Auscorp is a privately owned business in Australia in recruitment. And I started as a junior recruiter. I did not need a lot of experience for that, and they took me on board. I've spent 4 years there. I eventually became the recruitment manager, had a team of recruiters underneath, and was looking after Australia and New Zealand in terms of medical recruitment. So had a little bit of a link there to health and medical, which was quite interesting. And it was the first time I got introduced to the topic of personal branding. And I'll share more on this later. Then in June 2019, I had my first child, and we decided it might be a good time to move to Amsterdam and be a bit closer to my family. And we were both, my husband and myself, were able to secure jobs from Australia in Amsterdam. So we thought it might be good timing to move to the Netherlands. And I joined Cargill as the Dutch talent acquisition specialist based out of Amsterdam. I also joined the Young Cargill Network Board. And during this time, I invested heavily in personal branding efforts. As I joined, well, from Auscorp, it was a small privately owned business. We had about 40 colleagues, and I joined a massive multinational with 160,000 employees. So happy to share a little bit more on that later. Then I moved into an employer brand lead role for EMEA, as well as managing the talent acquisition team for Belgium and the Netherlands. I took 5 months off maternity leave with my second child, and then I was asked to move into the global employer brand and talent attraction role in December last year, so almost a year ago. I started the role in Amsterdam, but we were having discussions with my husband and the family to potentially move back to Australia. We had to decide where my daughter would go to school. And I thought, well, I'm in a global role now, so I might well ask if I can do this role from anywhere. And it was possible. So I got the opportunity to get a relocation to Australia based out of the Gold Coast at the moment, since February. It's definitely been a great time to be closer to the family, being based here as well. I'm Australian citizen now as well. But I'm doing the role remote. So mainly that means mainly working at night, obviously with the US and Europe. So building up my personal brand has really helped me to get where I am now. And I could have never imagined to be in a global employer brands and talent attraction leader role based out of Australia when I started my career. So obviously I had to manage the challenges of moving around the world to Sydney, back to Amsterdam, back to Australia, and also having to start new jobs a couple of times and new networks. So let me explain a bit more about my journey in personal branding. But first, it will be good to understand what's personal branding and what's the definition. So personal branding is the process of creating a consistent and distinctive brand identity, an image and reputation for yourself. So it involves showcasing your unique qualities, your skills, your values, your expertise and experiences and personality to really promote yourself and stand out in the marketplace. So why is personal branding very important? It helps to differentiate you. It helps you to stand out from the crowd and making yourself memorable to potential employers. It also helps you with professional growth, and it gives you career flexibility. So developing a strong personal brand can enhance self-awareness and career opportunities and increase your professional visibility. But it can also, when you have a clearer sense of your professional goals and aspirations, help you navigate through different opportunities. And personal branding can facilitate networking and help you to connect with like-minded people. And finally, it can also help with building trust and reputation. So showcasing your values and what's important to you, as well as your expertise, this will lead to establishing a positive reputation in your industry. So let's look through 5 steps of how to build your personal brand and how I went through these steps myself. The first one will be the foundation, really setting that groundwork, identifying and articulating personal values, strengths, and passions. Once you have identified this, you've got your foundation, then you can identify your goals of what you want to achieve out of building a personal brand. Then you want to develop a personal story that resonates with the target audience. And you want to create consistent online presence through social media, internal websites within your company, for example, as well as professional profiles. And using your professional network and engaging in networking activities. So let's start with step one in terms of identifying and articulating personal values, strengths, and passion. So during my time in Sydney, I've been introduced to the concept of personal branding, as I mentioned before. And a friend of mine invited me to a workshop about identifying my personal values. And it was such a great experience. So I am going to share my experience at the moment, how I went through identifying my personal values as well as strengths and passion. So let's start with my personal values. So obviously values are there to engage you, right? Energize you. So during the workshop, I followed on personal values. We received this checklist that you can see here of values, and we had to go through every word individually. And when you felt that excitement reading the word, you then had to highlight it as it meant something to you. When you got your list of values, you could then cluster the ones that are similar. So the values that stood out to me when I did this exercise a couple of years ago was achievement, adventure, challenge, which I think is very similar. So I clustered those two. Cooperation, excellence, which I clustered achievement and excellence, as there is that overlap. Health as well as family, and helping others definitely is a personal value of mine. And I think it's also linked to cooperation as well as honesty. So I identified my 5 values, and I would really recommend, if you have not done this exercise before, to go through identifying your values. It has helped me in my personal life a lot too. At one point, my partner and I were discussing a potential move from Sydney to Amsterdam, and we weren't too sure if it was the right thing to do at that point in time. We just had our first baby 2 weeks earlier. So I wasn't sure if it was the right time, if we were able to think clearly at that time. But then I remember I look back at my values, and obviously adventure being one of them, it was a no-brainer. We had the opportunity to move a new job, so we had to make this move, and I'm grateful that we did. So the next thing is to identify your strengths and passion. A strength is obviously an activity that strengthens you, right? And makes you feel stronger as well. A passion is an intense enthusiasm or drive for something, to have that deeper connection and a sense of purpose. So what helped me in identifying my strength was this book from Marcus Buckingham and a list of questions to identify my passion. And again, I would highly recommend to go through this exercise yourself as well. So all of this groundwork in terms of developing your values, your passion, your strength, led me to developing my own personal value proposition one pager. So it's a one page overview that has my strengths on it, my values, my passion, as well as my career goals, which obviously change over time. And this is an example of my one pager that I created a few years ago. So again, I would recommend going through this exercise and creating your own one page value proposition, as this is really the foundation to develop your personal brand. So let's have a look at step 2. setting your goal of what you want to achieve out of building a personal brand. So first of all, it'd be good to ask yourself, what do you want to achieve by building a personal brand? It depends obviously on your professional as well as personal situation at that point in time. Do you want to build a community, a network, or maybe you're in a sales role and you want to try to get more clients, or you want to create awareness of yourself in the market for new opportunities? So really think about your goals at that point in time and what you want to achieve. So my goals have been different depending on my situation. So when I joined Auscorp in Sydney, I wanted to build up my external network of clients and candidates. It was a recruitment job, so I just moved to a new country, a new market, and it was important for me to build up that connection because I was in a sales role at that point in time. At my time at Auscorp, I won awards through the years, most of the years, for the work I was doing. And I also wanted to inspire others that move to a different country, that go through all the challenges of a move, finding a new job, language barriers, etc. And being successful is possible when you move countries. So when I moved to Cargill, my goal slightly changed. I wanted to build up my internal network as I just joined a company that had 160,000 employees. So I got 160,000 colleagues I did not know around the world. So I wanted to build up my internal network. And because I just had my first child, I also want to showcase my experiences as being a working mom. When I moved into my employee brand lead role, my goals changed again. I wanted to create that awareness externally to candidates of who we are as a company and what we do, as that became part of my day-to-day job. So now you've identified your goals, let's look at step three, to develop a compelling personal story that resonates with the target audience. So a couple of things are important to know when you develop a personal story. First of all, be yourself, demonstrate your personality with your passion, and you can really use your personal value proposition one pager. You've got your overview of your values, your passion, etc., and really use that as a foundation to write your own personal story. So let me share how I develop my stories based on my goals in my different roles. So first of all, I wanted to bring across in my story that moving to the other side of the world without a network is possible. Challenge and adventure are my values, and I wanted to showcase that across social media. And I'm particularly showing some examples of my LinkedIn activity, as that's the main platform young professionals are using and I've been using. Limited English skills should not stop you from becoming a good performer. Goal setting is important to achieve and create opportunities. And always I wanted to, well, throughout my career, showcase that helping others and giving back to the community are my core values and passion. And that doesn't change based on the job. So here are a couple of examples of me telling my story during this period of time. So an example where I highlighted my achievements, an example where I gave a background information on the life-changing move to Australia and how the journey has been so far. And I also showed my network the importance of helping others. So in the middle, you can see we had a group of students come over where we did a session about teamwork, team communication, and different personas within the team. Then when I joined Cargill, I just came back from maternity leave and moved to the other side of the world again. I moved back to the Netherlands. So I wanted to share that it's possible to combine this with a full-time job and still keeping good work-life balance. At that time in the Netherlands, I've received quite a bit of resentment from my own personal community, so friends and family, about the fact that I worked full-time and put kids in daycare. None of my friends at that time worked full-time with children. And I really wanted to share my experiences with my network in case I would inspire others and also showcase how Cargill has supported me during this period in my life and career. So I wanted to show and bring across that being a full-time parent with young kids can be combined with a work-life balance. Cargill provides that opportunity no matter what your personal situation is. Cargill supports flexible hours. And again, what's important value of mine, helping others and giving back. Definitely one of the themes in the content I created. So a couple of examples here In the first, on the left-hand side, the first story was the very first story where I opened up about my family situation and being a full-time mom. I have to say it was quite nerve-wracking to press that post button, but I think I reached over 80,000 people with this post. And not only did I inspire my network on LinkedIn, I also started the journey of building my personal brand internally within Cargill, which obviously was one of my goals, when I joined Cargill, as we had so many colleagues around the world. I continued to talk about feeling supported after coming back from maternity leave. I talked about having flexibility where to work, what hours, and still accomplish my goals. And I also kept showcasing my network, the importance of helping others. In this case, it was educating students. And on the right-hand side, I became a mentor for students as well. Then I moved into my other role, employee branding, and then the goal slightly changed. So the story I wanted to bring across slightly changed as well. I wanted to continue to tell my story about being a working parent whilst my family expanded with our second child, but also continue to tell the story of my career progression within Cargill. It was my third role in about 2, 3 years' time, and I wanted to inspire others, but also showcase Cargill and attract candidates to Cargill. As that was part of my employee brand lead role, I wanted to inform my network on who we are and what we do. So I started telling the story with my network and educated my network on my role in employee branding, with some day in the life postings. So slightly changed in terms of content. So in today's webinar, I've been mainly focusing on, as I mentioned, the building up the presence on LinkedIn, as this is the highest used platform for young professionals. But it is important to create a consistent online presence through social media. So hitting that, let's talk about that. So hitting that publish button for the first time, I remember it very well. If you want to create a post, it's very nerve-wracking. It is important to create that consistent online presence. So build up your followers, add new people in your network. Well, I would say on a weekly basis, engage with your followers, especially if you get interaction to your postings, and start small and grow over time. But also important to be active in more places than social media. Think about some intranets. We use Yammer internally, where it would be really good to be active there as well. So what helped me to create a consistent online presence to increase my personal brand was putting dates in my calendar with events I wanted to post about or prompts to give myself inspiration for another post. So here you can see an example overview of some of the events that I had highlighted in my calendar and that I wanted to talk about on LinkedIn and showcase in relation to, my personal values as well as my passions. So the final step on building a personal brand is you want to cultivate a professional network and engage in networking activities. So I would highly recommend, and it will be really good to find opportunities to, first of all, present, to practice your presentation skills, to join networking events. And I've noticed that graduate and student events are a great way to practice networking, and obviously for students to know more about the organization you work for. If your company has a young professional network, it will be highly recommended to join that as well. And if your company has a brand ambassador program, if that's available, I would again recommend to join to join that. It's there to build up your internal and external network and also promote your personal brands. So I wanted to mention one more time that personal brand plays a crucial role in attracting better job opportunities. So once you have, built up your personal brand, it will help you stand out from the crowd. It will facilitate networking. You will build trust and credibility with a personal brand, and it will also increase your visibility in the job market. You will attract job opportunities that align with your values because you start sharing your values online and internally, externally, and employers are most likely to reach out to you. I've worked in every position very hard, but I have to say, within the years at Cargill, building that internal brand, I have been asked to move into every role I've been into, which is my fourth role in 4 years. Also remembering building a personal brand takes time and a consistent effort, and it will be really good to be authentic. So this is what I wanted to share today. If you need any help with building up your personal brand or would like to connect further for any questions, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn, and obviously here for the Q&A. Thanks a lot, Vincent.
I honestly thank you for sharing the experience. I think I have seen all of the LinkedIn posts you mentioned passing by on my own feed. From the time that I used to work in Cargill, I started following you along. So I remember the picture, seeing them, I was thinking like, this is the new way of finding the work-life balance you look for. And also from my perspective as well, when I used to work from Cargill, I also was part of the Young Cargill Network here in Belgium. It is, if you have the opportunity to do so, an amazing experience to get acquainted with your peers, but also they organize talks with CEOs. So it is a one of the best learning opportunities I think you can have within a how to say a big company, especially. Now, the next part of this webinar is me talking about what I do and how I become a director for a European agency, albeit a small one at 26, which was for me a quite big step. So I'm gonna quickly share my screen as well so we can get this going. So yes, good afternoon, everyone. I am Vincent. I'm currently a director as a from the EGTC, or EGT as in Dutch, Linieland, which is a public authority based in Belgium, who is currently doing projects across the border between Belgium and the Netherlands, considering different laws and all that stuff that applies when you have two legislations that sometimes do not connect well to each other. But I'm not here to talk about my job or like what the content of my job is. It's more about how personal branding for me has formed a path to career success, but something that I also use to preserve m mental well-being. Why so? Becoming a director at 26, or becoming any or receiving any leadership role at 26, means you are actually quite young at that point and very early in your career. So for me, it has been a big change, considering that I only had about 2 years of previous experience apart in Cargill, apart for the United Nations as an intern. So it's been a big step up of where I come from. But the reason I got to where I am today is because I define myself as somebody who wanted to get somewhere. But it also has some kind of flip side. But before getting to that, I actually want to start off with the slide series. So for me, personal branding, what it's been for me throughout the years is that I intentionally and strategically shape and manage how I want to be perceived by others on both my professional level but also my personal level. People who know me in the professional sphere are very different from people who I consider my friends, family, and acquaintances. However, if I would ask them both to describe what my core characteristics would be, I am quite sure that both would answer with the same kind of idea about being an honest person, being direct, being very achievement-oriented, but also somebody you can rely on. And that is the core values, as Lisanne like showed the list, things that really lie close to my heart for me. So I cannot switch the slide currently. There we go. So for me, how I have perceived personal branding and how I go on about it, and how you can go on about it as well, is first off, and that is basically where the exercise of Lisanne comes in place, is being authentic, finding core values for yourself, how you want to be perceived, what you want to achieve in life, about where you want to evolve to. And then once you've defined those, actually making them consistent for yourself, finding different situations which may oppose your view of what you have of yourself. For example, if you want to be stressful, but then in very stressful circumstances, you tend to, panic or anything. Even in those kind of circumstances, finding consistency, not to overcome the stress, but maybe to, push through it. is a way to be consistent. And the moment you become consistent, it will be visible for the outside world. So it is basically one sphere building upon the other. And based upon the visibility you create with your personal brand, you will have career advancements, but also you will have, I said a mental well-being. But what I mean is that by finding those core values and adhering to those core values, the importance thereof lies in the fact that you are proud of the person you've become. You're proud of the person you want to be at that point. For me, it was I wanted to become somebody that was well known in a region. I wanted to have a sort of I wanted to create an impact for people. That is basically maybe the most prominent core value is creating impacts for people. And based on that, I came into vision of the recruiting agency who was hiring a director. And that's where I got to today. So the power of personal branding, like I said, it goes into two ways. So first off, you look into career advancements and it shows who you are. It gives you recognition for your achievements. It gives you recognition for networking opportunities, and it helps you also establish that network. So it is very much the things that Lisanne said back then. It's about finding the right people to talk with. And that can only be done if you, for example, get invited to certain meetings, even if it's only as a spectator. People will remember that, oh, there was like a youngster in the meeting present and so on. But also the opposite side is fueling mental well-being, and it helps you being confident in the position you're in, and it gives you a sense of purpose, because once you find that core value and you can translate that one to your job, and then your job, you have the saying of if you love your job, you don't have to work a day in your life. Honestly, it still feels like work, but I love what I'm doing currently, so at least I have the sense of purpose. But really going through that personal branding can lead to sometimes taking big steps at a very short time in your life, or sometimes very early, which actually leads me to the flip side, something that I currently have been experiencing. And that is actually what I want to talk about today, because the goal for me, or what I want to do for other people, is helping them and making an impact and making things that are difficult to talk about, or sometimes you don't know how to talk about it, putting those on the table and addressing them. So that takes me to today's topic, actually, what I'll be talking about. It is that I may not show it, but I sometimes have literally no clue what I'm doing as a young leader. And sometimes somebody would say, oh, you did that well. But yes, I am, well, not just a woman in this case, but I am just the director, and I'm only 26 years old at that time, currently 27. So for those who have read the LinkedIn post already, we know where this is going. Welcome to my current issue, which is the imposter syndrome. And young professionals who enter a big company, or even when you consider establishing your own company and you yourself become the CEO of that company, or you take a leadership role for a team or something, then if you're young and you don't have that much experience, you may experience senses of doubt about what you are accomplishing, based upon the fear of being exposed as a fraud. And you would think at that point that what you have achieved by then is basically just due to luck. And in the first month when I entered this position, I was overwhelmed, to say the least. I had my meetings being scheduled for me. I had a bunch of dossiers to go through. There was so much going on, and I literally had no clue what to do. And step by step, my team took me along. They introduced me to the topics, and it was an amazing experience to be adopted, so to say, by the team. And them immediately seeing me as, this is a new leadership figure we're going to work with. This is going to work out great. And the adoption and the whole process of entering into the role has actually been great. But still, I had the feeling like this was due to luck. Because, I could have been somewhere else. I could have had another position. Somebody else could have gotten the position. But the fact is that I have myself been through the selection. I myself have made a test. I have made the interviews and so on. So the fact that I'm sitting here today was very hard to accept in the beginning. But I got that because I was selected for it, not because of luck, because the selection commission at the end was about 10 persons, I think. So I had to convince every single one of them to accept me as a new director. So You can sometimes be proud of yourself, even if you're young. You can also feel overwhelmed or sometimes overstressed if you're young. It is not because you're young that you should be young and resilient. Resilience has nothing to do with like overcoming stress or not experiencing workload or being overworked, you know? It is things that you need to talk about if you experience those. So, how does this relate to personal branding? Because personal branding for me has meant that I took on very high standards. There was nothing less for me better than perfectionism. Now, at this point, I kind of gave up on that because perfectionism doesn't exist. But it showed to the outside world what I would stand for, and they would compare me with like other people in that area, which is also like that had led to the recruiting agency finding my LinkedIn and offering me to join the selection for this one. But the fact is that now within this position that I've gotten through my personal branding and the way I want to come across to people, I have experienced self-doubts, fear of failure, and the fact that my success is based on luck. So the reason I'm bringing you this today is to make you aware that if you're facing this, first off, you're not alone, and secondly, you can overcome this. It is not something that is specifically only matter to you. And also, I don't think it is stupid to talk about it. I think things like this should be put on the table. It should be brought forth. And I think an open conversation based upon a worm can very much open the conversation very broadly about, you know, maybe even senior people who have been in the company for 10, 20 years also having the same raccoon image in their heads. Like during a meeting, they may not know what is exactly going on because we're just people at that point anymore. But I see now imposter syndrome and good student syndrome are killers. I think they are killers, but that is why we have the stairs. The AA is not the Anonymous Alcoholics. It is acceptance, and it is the whole idea about finding out what you're experiencing currently, and it is the acknowledgement that you experience a certain sentiment. For me, it was experiencing the fact that I was afraid of not achieving the standards that was that were expected of me. And accepting the fact you feel that way, because the way you experience your job, the way you experience the workload and stuff, by fighting against the feeling, you're not gonna get anywhere. By accepting, well, first off, acknowledging you feel it and accepting it afterwards, you allow yourself to find a more constructive inner dialogue, or at least that was for me the case. Instead of saying, "Oh, I should not feel like this," or I deserve to be here," I was like, "Okay, no, let's take a step back. I have come here through a selection of like a few weeks of selection, and now I'm in this position, and I feel that I'm afraid of what others will think of me because I'm very young. I'm supposed to be leading an organization. I have no clue what's going on." Which was the whole idea of, okay, this is what's going on. And then I was like, okay, either I can fight this or I can accept this. So what I did was, it was just the fact that I was feeling that way. And at that point, I decided, okay, no fighting it. I'm going to start talking about it. So I went to my best friend. I went to talk with other senior people who I trusted back then about, like, this is what I'm experiencing. How do I go on about this? Talking and sharing your emotion with somebody, talking about it in general, and me using the lead network to show that talking about these kinds of issues should not be a big deal, actually should help you. I mean, you can get different insights, people can listen to you, and you will also realize that at that point you may not be alone in having this experience or just these negative feelings. And then the last step after you've talked about it and you've, kind of changed the inner dialogue or have found a more positive internal course of thoughts or train of thoughts, it is focusing on your accomplishments. And what I tend to do to really find out what I'm doing currently or what I'm doing right is focusing on a list of like things that you have achieved, because it is very easy to find your mistakes and it's very easy to remember those. But it should be a lot easier to remember your achievements. But that may, at least in my instance, be often overlooked. So do keep those in mind, because failing to see those may actually result in you giving up or feeling let down about what you can actually do. So then I have a few tips to find a balance between your ambition and well-being, things that I tend try to adhere to, although I am very bad in keeping a balance between personal life and work life. But it is very interesting, and I just read the chat as well because it's open on my second screen. And the imposter syndrome is not a question of age; it surely is not. And I can assure you that there may be people that have been around either for a very long time in the same company or so on that also experience questions about their capability or how to address something. So the first thing you should do is define your priorities. What I mean to say here is define what you want to do, define what you want to say, who you are. And I think the presentation of Lisanne really showed you how to start off with that, like how to start off your personal brand, because based on that, you're going to define the priorities and then everything else just will come afterwards. Like I said, you start with the authenticity inside yourself, you make it consistent, and then it will become visible to the outside world. The second thing is learn to set boundaries and learn to say no. And it is very easy to say no, but it is very hard to do so as well. As not only a young professional, but for any professional, learning to say no, learning to delegate is probably the most important skill you will ever learn. At least from my perspective, it is. But I think that if you would like talk with a lot of people and like, how many times did you say no in the last week? You will see like those who are happy with the job and those who are not. It all depends on time management, and learning to say no is a very big part of it. Then self-care practices and regular reflection. Like Lisanne said, the whole idea of personal branding is very much time dependent. Priorities shift over time. So that means that you can have different goals in life at a certain point. Currently, I'm very much career focused, but that doesn't take away the fact that in, I don't know, 5 years maybe, I maybe want to have a family and I will shift away my focus from like developing my career to actually getting to my girlfriend and time at home or something like that. What else can I say about self-care practice? Honestly, if you have the time and the dedication to pick up journaling, do so. It is amazing. On YouTube, there's many good YouTubers about it. It's a reflection of your day or negative emotions and really getting to the fun of it. Flexibility and adaptability is in general a quality that is asked during the interviews when it comes to a new job. But finding yourself in instances where you are uncomfortable and making the best out of it is actually a good way to train these kinds of things. I mean, you can learn to be flexible, you can learn to be adaptable, and that doesn't mean that you can take on whatever is coming your way or that they can put you in the most stressful circumstances. But that does mean that when the time comes, you can have a I can do it mentality, and that is very, very important to do so. And lastly, like I already said on the previous slide, celebrate your achievements. It may sense a little bit as narcissism when you talk about yourself and what you've done and being happy with like small achievements, like for example, you fixed an error in the code of the Excel file or whatever that may be part of your job. But those small things contribute to the value you attribute to yourself. And it's very important that that one stays high for yourself. And to, at least at my point, somewhat conclude on how personal branding can be used and how to go about it, I give you the 10 commandments of personal branding. They very much come back to a lot of things that Lisanne already said. It's about authenticity. It's about the clarity of the message. Like, what do you want to get along with? What do you want to have? What do you want to be known for? The consistency across platforms. Having online presence in present day is very important. It is what landed me my current job, and it is what will land a lot of you new jobs within the company or without. Be it in your mails, if you want to be a friendly person, be friendly in your mails, be friendly in your Teams messages, WhatsApp messages, social media platforms, anything. Focus on your professional developments. You can set long-term, short-term goals on what you want to achieve. Is that something in your team you want to realize? Or is some change management you want to do within the team, like small kind of roles you want to do? Or do you want to grow to like a more dedicated role as a team lead? Discuss also these opportunities with your managers. It may be frightening to do so, but they are very much willing to listen to you. Effective communication actually comes a bit along with the idea of clarity of message. Change the way you communicate sometimes based upon the audience you're trying to reach. It may, not always, but in my instance, especially because I also have to talk with a lot of politicians, changing the way you communicate about certain things can help you get your message across more effectively. Network building is another one. Finding a good network, especially if you have a huge network within your company, is amazing to join to find new new connections. Actually, Lisanne, I have been following Lisanne for quite a while, and it was based on network building on LinkedIn when I started to add prominent accounts that were like active with Cargill tags and so on. It was really nice to see, and even now I still have good connections from when I used to work from Cargill that I still meet regularly. It is amazing to see what a good network can do for you. Online presence, like I said, is important as well. That is what for me landed me the job. Feedback and adaptation is something that is very interesting, very important as well, but has to be addressed with a specific mindset. Because receiving feedback may for some people feel like you are being reprimanded for something you've did wrong. Like if somebody comes to you, you should have done it this way or that way. And that can be a trigger again to fall back into the whole issue of the imposter syndrome. Like, oh no, they found a mistake. Maybe I'm not capable for it. And we're back down the downward spiral. So the moment you receive feedback, really, really, really try to focus yourself on the fact that it is meant as a positive way to influence your behavior, to help you grow, rather than to reprimand you on the mistakes you've made, because often that is not the case. Embrace diversity and inclusion. Honestly, having a bunch of colleagues from different backgrounds is amazing, and a community engagement is the same as network building. Really engage with the community about what you are doing. About the people you talk with and so on. It's like, having a good community, like Lisanne said, for example, like on LinkedIn, having a bunch of followers who are really involved with what you do, who may take you as a role model, or where you're part of a bigger kind of thing. It really helps defining what you want in life. Honestly, that is about it for me today. If there is one thing that I want you to take away from my end, it is that if you sense the issue of the imposter syndrome, if you have the feeling that you are being overwhelmed with work, just talk about it. Acknowledge and accept, talk about it, and focus on your achievements, because that is basically what you can do. And I just read in the chat, the opportunity to move to feed forward instead of feedback is actually a very nice quote. And I think I'm gonna use that in my next slides if I can, if I am allowed, Maria. It's an amazing one. Anyway, I actually am very much open to questions or having a small conversation on things based in the chat. Also, I'm gonna get Lisanne back here as well, because I've seen Lisanne reacting to a bunch of the chat's messages as well. And I'm very happy to see these open conversations in the chat, actually. Oh, and that's nice. At the Lead Conference, I had to miss it this year because I just enrolled in my new job. So I was not able to join the Düsseldorf Conference. But so yeah, Lisanne, anything to contribute based upon the chat? Because I've seen it was a very active chat as well.
I know, I like it. Yeah, thanks for it. I mean, it was a great presentation and nice to see, lots of overlap obviously between what we presented. So hopefully we've been giving a nice overview today. I've tried to answer majority of the questions. There was a question about the Young Cargill Network. Well, at Cargill it might be slightly different than another organization. So it'd be good to check, within your company. For us, it was really, get young professionals together. It was a great opportunity to discuss various topics, but also to meet leaders within the company, as well as external young professionals from other organizations.
I just see a question coming in the Q&A from an anonymous user, and I think it's a very interesting question. So, how do you say no when you feel extra burdened with useless work from your boss? It is a difficult question to answer, because honestly, you do not want to disappoint your boss. But at least from my perspective, what I would do at that point is go to your boss. And just sit down for a talk. And how the conversation or my introduction will be is, honestly, look, I'm very willing to take up this work, but currently my schedule is already very much busy. Like, I cannot take this anything. So, is there a possibility to look at prioritizing certain tasks that I'm currently doing so that I can, get in home on time, but also get the tasks done that have the biggest and best impact for the company in general? And by asking them for prioritization, it shows them that you're looking for guidance first off. It shows you that you're willing to learn and that you're willing to prioritize and you want to keep the good of the company beforehand. But it also shows them that you are aware of your amount of work. So it is really approaching the conversation from a very positive feedback searching, or what was it again? Forward feeds angle. So yeah. Lisanne, do you have anything to contribute to the question about like how to say no to your boss if you already have like a bunch of work and they still give you more work?
Yeah, I know it's hard, right? I'm really bad at that. No, I think just have open conversations. I mean, what works with me in my current role is, we're having regular meetings, so my boss knows, I guess, my capacity. And with my role being here, based out of the Gold Coast, I mainly work at night. So I clock on when the kids are in bed around 8:30. I work all the way through till about 1 a.m. So I just need to be very careful to say, if there is a meeting at 1:30 or 2 a.m., it's just too late because I will only have a small, couple of hours of sleep that I can get. So I'm trying to be, especially in this role, very good at saying no. But just, I guess, just set the scene, right? This is my schedule. Have those open conversations with the boss if that's possible at all. I mean, I'm lucky with my manager. I can imagine it's not the same for everyone. And
Okay.
I wanted to reply to Dana, Maria as well on how to brand if you have two parallel projects or careers. I would recommend to go through the exercise. So get your one pager, right? Understand your values, your passions. And it's both you, right? I mean, I chose one direction of promoting, Gargill as a company, my professional career, but then also tying that into my work, my personal situation about, being a mom and having two young children. So I think you can definitely combine that. You might just want to test out and see what resonates most with your network at the moment. You might have a network that's mainly consisting out of your colleagues within Amazon, I believe. So it would be good to create some content and then test out, what resonates most. And not, and you might, and that's on social media, right? You might be able to build up your personal brands at different platforms where you have speaking opportunities, where you specifically talk about yoga, et cetera. Whereas, within Amazon, if you want to build up that brand, there might be opportunities to leverage internal platforms or internal networking sessions. So there'll be different ways to, I guess, combine it, but then also separate based on, I guess, the channels you want to use. Hope that's helpful.
Also, if you have the two projects, and I'm now thinking about this nice color code you use to find the overlaps, if you want to create one brand only, then you can always make the exercise for both of them and see which kind of words come back for both of them. And that would be your very core values at that point. So it is a bit the choice you will have to make. I see another question coming in. Any watch outs or advice for building a personal brand for people who are introverted?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I would consider myself, I'm not super extrovert, so maybe more towards introvert. And I've helped colleagues as well, they were quite nervous about doing that first post and getting out there to open up to their network. I think once you know your foundation, and if there's anyone that needs support, they're happy to connect and get started. But you just need to get, I guess, that, first piece of content out. And as I mentioned before, if you have opportunities, maybe it's easier said than done to speak at an event or, go to a networking session. It will get easier over time. I remember first presentations, first networking sessions, first post I did. It was nerve-wracking. I'm not sure about you, Vincent, but yeah, I thought that was a
My
big step
first
to overcome.
meeting was the second day. I guess my first day was basically introduction to like my office and stuff and finding out where I have to walk and stuff. But my second day was actually with two mayors already, so which on municipality level at least is the highest level of political order. And then I had to introduce myself as a new director because those would become my somewhat direct colleagues. It is nerve-wracking to say the least. Being introverted doesn't mean you can't have a outgoing personal brand. However, you need to feel at that point comfortable with what you want to proclaim to the outside world. I think it's a balancing exercise. Being an introvert is a bit more of a challenge, I would say, but that doesn't mean that you cannot create your personal brand. And like Lisanne, if you said like you're an introverted person, honestly, I would not say it based on your personal brand on LinkedIn. I love it. It is amazing. It is just a balancing exercise at that point. Let's see. Late night work is very unhealthy in the long run.
I know. It won't
Yeah.
be a long, sustainable job to do, right? I mean, I
Yeah.
totally agree. Yeah.
And then I
But
see.
it must, I mean, yeah.
No, go ahead.
For
Go ahead.
me
Go ahead.
personally, this job, yeah, I'm reading the chat. So this job has given me a lot, a very big boost in my career. So I know that, I've got big projects going on. I can really prove myself in this role for a couple of years. But you're right, kids wake up early. I go to bed late. I do have a supportive partner. I sleep during the day. So there are definitely, I need to take care of myself a bit more than previously in roles. But it's not sustainable. But it might open opportunities. That's how I see it. I mean, nothing will be the same forever. We want us to take on this adventure. I'm super grateful that it's possible to do my role from here and have that, personal work-life balance, be close to family, can go to the beach during the day, etc. But I believe that, whatever will come on our path will be meant to be. And if that might be, opening up a role in APAC to at least work during my day, have different hours, etc. We'll see. As long as I'll try to listen to my body and take the rest where needed. But for now, very grateful and yeah, exciting projects that I'm working on. So I just want to complete some of them.
Yeah, well, it's just going again through the chat as well. So somebody said that they're struggling to be intentional about building a personal brand. But then it actually comes back to the first step you introduced, Lisanne, and that is, finding core values and going from there. And that is when I said that, like, internalize it, make it your authentic self, like become the person you want to be. And this sounds very cliche, I'm very much aware of this. But then based on that, you find the consistency to do so, and then it becomes visible. So building your personal brand, the biggest step you should do or that you can take is finding and internalizing those core values, and the rest will come,
Yeah,
for itself.
absolutely.
Okay, let me quickly see. It is difficult to balance for introverts. Usually, lots of judgments are made on the introverts have no opinion. Okay, quick note as well. Everybody has now received the pop-up for the feedback, which I have slightly forgotten. So thank you much for the event team to get that pop-up going. Please do take your time in the meantime to fill in the questions. This really helps us a lot to organize the next set of webinars. Honestly, I would not say that introverts are not respected for their opinion, especially when I'm in meetings and I see somebody who doesn't speak that often and then, how to say this, finally decides to open their mouth. Honestly, the content they bring forth is very much amazing as well. So if you're an introvert, I would not consider yourself being written off, because you're an introvert and nobody cares about your opinion. I may have missed this where we get the session recording. So the session recording will be available on the website and the deck. I'm going to check with Lisanne to see, and then we can share it with a recap mail. Thank you very much all for joining. It's 2 p.m. I wish you all a very best, rest of the day. Feel free to connect over LinkedIn with us. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. Very happy to help. And thank you all for joining.
Thanks for being here.
Also, if we don't see each other again for a new webinar, already Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and all kind of stuff. And, have a great day.
Bye.